Let's open our Bibles this morning to John 3:16. And again, as I've shared, we've entitled this A Living Communion. I want us to read that together, John 3:16, 17 and 18. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I want to read this today because it has significance, because it's the Word of God, but it'll tie in today what we're doing. And I love to read Psalm 119, 130. The more I read it, the more light I get out of that, the more impact it has in my heart, in my spirit. Because how many know you are a spirit? You have a soul, and you live in a body. And there's one thing, you know, we can't talk about it enough. The only thing that can separate your soul and your spirit is what? Hebrews 4:12, isn't it? The Word of God is the only thing that can separate between the soul and the spirit. They may be, you have parts, they all work together, but they're all individually, they're a separate part, aren't they? That's the same thing. My soul and my spirit, they work together, but they are separate. They're not one. And there's some that would say, well, the soul and the spirit are the same. No, they aren't. The scripture says that it's the Word of God that's sharper than any two-edged sword that divides asunder between the soul and the spirit. I wish above all things that you may prosper. Right? So I like Psalm 119, 130. It says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." It giveth light. What gives light? The Word gives light. And it says, "It giveth understanding unto the simple." I like The Holman Christian Standard says, "The revelation of your words bring light." The Young's Literal Translation says, "The opening of thy words enlighteneth." So it's the Word of God that has an impact on what? On your spirit. Which then illuminates your soul. It renews your mind. The Word of God impacts or has an impact on your spirit, but it also renews your mind, doesn't it? Hallelujah. But the thing that I wanted to touch on today is looking at this thing that God, the revelation that God has put in my heart. A living communion. And we're still talking about having a Spirit-led life, living a Spirit-led life, it's going to be very difficult to be led by the Spirit of God without having communion. You can't do it. And you're going to see from the Scripture, in the Scripture, that one's understanding is darkened when there's a lack of communion. And we need to commune with Him. But I started reading the book of John, a gospel, and I'm just going through and looking. But I started just looking at the I Am's, who He is. And what did He say, starting in the book of John? What did He say? I am the bread of life. He's the bread of life. He is the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And then what did He say? In Matthew 5, I believe He said, ye are the light of the world. It shouldn't be said under a bushel basket, but it should be seen so that men can see your what? Your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What else did He say? He said, I am the door to the sheep, the sheepfold. He continued, He said, I am the what? In that chapter, He said, I am the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And then what did He say? John 11, He says, I am the resurrection and the life. What else did He say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then what did He say also in John 15? I am the true vine. He's the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. So I started to reflect on those I Am's. And what's been in my heart is let's take a look, because we're going to eventually get over to Romans to look at being led by the Spirit. But I want us to look at John 15 for a moment. And very familiar scripture verse. But it has some significance, and you'll see why, when it comes to when we talk about a living communion, a fellowship. Look at John 15. This is the King James Version. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth what? More fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot do what? Bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. Got to abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. I'm going to stop there. Let me read this out of the Phillips translation here. And then I'm going to read the Wuest, it's W-U-E-S-T translation. This is the Phillips. I am the real vine. My Father is the vine dresser. He removes any of my branches which are not bearing fruit, and He prunes every branch that does bear fruit to increase its yield. Now you have already been pruned by my words. Sometimes it feels like that, doesn't it? Ouch. You must go on growing in me, and I will grow in you. For just as the branch cannot bear any fruit unless it shares the life of the vine, you have to share in the life of the vine. And so you can produce nothing unless you go on growing in me. You got to keep on growing. I am the vine itself, you are the branches. It is the man who shares my life and whose life I share who proves fruitful. For the plain fact is that apart from me, you can do nothing at all. So we can see the importance of bearing fruit. Let me ask this question. Can we bear fruit apart from being led by the Spirit of God? Can't do it. Because you have the Word of God, but it's going to be the entrance, the revelation, the opening up of His Word by the Spirit of God that brings the understanding. And you've got a lot of, you've got the Word, but how do I apply it? The sword of the Spirit that comes out of here has to be energized by the Holy Ghost. And it's from that communion that unction comes. Is that not true? So we can see the importance of staying connected to the vine. Because without that connection, we can't do it. It ain't going to work. It can't happen. We'll just be bumping around. Here's the Weiss translation. This is kind of what prompted me here. Maintain, this is John 15:4 in the Weiss. Maintain a living communion with me. Oh, I love it. Oh, I love that. Maintain a living communion with me. And I with you. Just as the branch is unable to be bearing fruit from itself as a source. Oh, unless it remains in a living union with the vine. So neither you, unless you maintain a living communion with me. Let me ask this question. How many married couples do we have here? In order for that union to bear fruit, there must be a living communion. Otherwise, it won't work. And thus, there's no fruit that can be born out of that marriage unless there's a living fellowship, a living communion. And we cannot bear fruit in the Spirit unless there's a living communion with Him. It ain't going to work. You may get a little, but in order to bear much fruit, there's going to have to be a living, active communion with God. Amen. And that's what He's put in my heart, that this fellowship, this communion, it, when it's ignited, when it's active, there's a hunger to be with God. There's a hunger to fellowship with Him. How many, when they have a living communion with their husband or wife, there's a passion to be with them? I gotta get home. I gotta be with them. Do we have that kind of passion and hunger for God? Do we? I'm reflecting on me. This is the mirror on me. This is the word He put in my heart that we need to look and reflect, because when that hunger's there, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. So when we hunger, He'll lead us. He'll knock on your door. He'll wake you up. Now, yes, He did say, and His word is forever settled. He will never leave you nor forsake you. But sometimes that communion, when ours isn't happening, sometimes it needs to be knocking on your door through other people, because you ain't listening. Nobody's home. Doorbell's ringing. Nobody's answering. You're asleep. So somebody else has got to do the talking. Somebody else has got to invade your space to help, to minister, when in fact He desires a living communion with Him. So He can lead us, so He can guide us, speak to us. Is that true? It's the truth. See, this excitement. See, and this is what He kind of put in my heart here, that it's abiding in the vine. It's this abiding, this living communion of growing in Him, that it's that He's looking for. And whenever you see branches begin to wither, you got to go back and look, how am I connected? When you see stuff surfacing in our lives, when we see little things in marriages, when we see little things surfacing, you know, bickering. How many, all of us, we've been in love. When you're in love, you don't see the imperfections. You overlook it. But when you are not, when the communion isn't there, we see stuff. Branch withering. And we have to go back and ask, is my communion intact? See, it's a good, to me, a lot of people, they get stuck and they're looking at, well, he said this and she said this and they're doing this and they're doing this and bop, 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 bop. Go back and look at the branch. It's withered. Because when it's not withered, there's communion. You're connected to the vine. See, I'm telling you the truth. This is the Holy Ghost. He stirred this in my heart. And out of that communion, He'll lead you. He'll show you. Out of this communion, that's what Jesus did. He had communion with who? The Father. And out of that communion, the love of God, the compassion was poured out on mankind. He went to the cross. Not my will, but His will that sent me.
So when I have communion with Him, it's not my will, but it's His will. I have what? The mind of God. I know what He thinks. I know what He wants. Why? Because my branch is connected to the vine. Telling you the truth today. It's the Word of God. Hallelujah. Let's jump over here because there's a few other scriptures. Let's look at 1 John. 1 John, you know these scriptures, but we're looking at it in the light of communion, fellowship with God. See, and you know what happens. We all get busy with life. We all have activities, but there is a toll. There's a cost if we get too busy and our communion with Him is affected. The branch is affected. So 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to read from the King James, and starting in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship, if we say we have communion with Him, and what? Walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, that means I'm staying connected to Him. I'm in communion. This is a living communion with Him. If I walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship, we have communion, we have koinonia with what? One another. And what? The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. I tell you, I'm excited about God. I'm excited about my fellowship with Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me read this. This is the 20th century New Testament. Same set of scriptures. 1 John 1, 5, 6, and 7, I guess. These then are the tidings that we have heard from Him and now tell you. God is light, and darkness has no place at all in Him. See, I like this. This is what it says here. If we say that we have communion with Him and yet continue to live in darkness, we lie and are not living the truth. But if our lives are lived in the light, if my life is lived in the light, as God Himself is in the light, we have communion with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. Hallelujah. When I'm living in the light, when I'm growing, He's going to purge so that I can do what? Bring forth more fruit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I think I'll get over there, but let's go over here to Romans chapter 8. I guess we'll get over there. Let me go to Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to look at verse 2. Romans 8, verse 2. And then I'm going to jump down to verse 11. You know, Reverend Cook was talking about grace last week. He was talking about the different facets of grace. We just touched on it. But I was thinking about this. Let me read this here. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read this in Romans 6. It says, "Let not sin," this is Romans 6:12, "let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." Hallelujah. "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. The Spirit of grace, the Spirit of life is in us." So we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. We're not under dominion, under the power of sin. It's been broken in our lives. In Romans 8, 2, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has done what? Set me free from the law of what? Sin and death." See, now this is what I like. This is the New Living Translation. It says, "And because you belong to Him," see, if you say you're walking in the light and you continue to live in darkness, you lie and do not the truth. But this says here, "And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads unto death." I've got the Spirit of life living in me. And He can be grieved by my actions, my living, my lifestyle. He can be grieved. And that fellowship can be affected. That communion with God can be affected by my life. But I have the power within me to live a life that's empowered by the Spirit of God. Romans 8:11, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, you are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die, but if you through the Spirit," the life-giving Spirit, "do what? Mortify, kill, keep under the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." He's going to lead you. He's going to empower you to walk right, walk holy, walk with Him. Hallelujah. But we can't say I'm led and then live raggedy. Can't do it. Scripture says you lie and do not the truth. Can't do that. So we walk by what? Faith, and not by sight. I like this, the voice. "The path we walk is charted by faith and not what we see with our eyes." Hallelujah. I want you to turn over to Ephesians 4. I'm going to look at this for a moment. Still talking about this living communion that we have. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 for a moment. We have the Spirit of God living in us, but He's not going to make you do anything. We have some responsibility, don't we?
Yes.
And the responsibility you can look at is very clear. You don't have to turn there, but you know this scripture, Romans 12:1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we have something to do. We have to present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And I have to do what? I have to renew my mind on the Word of God.
Amen.
He's not going to make me do that. And it's out of that Word that light comes, that life comes, that communion comes. But let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 for a moment. This is also our responsibility. These things affect our communion with God. Verse 17, I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk, not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. That means fruitless, pointless, just effectiveless. No, whatever word you want to use. Empty. Having what? So when you walk in the vanity of your mind, what does it say? Having the understanding darkened. Now look. What's next? Being what? Alienated from the what? So when we walk in the vanity of our minds, it says we have our understanding darkened and we are what? Alienated from the life of God. We're affecting the connection to the vine, aren't we? We're alienated from the vine. Through the what? The ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Whoa. So your heart becomes hardened because you're walking in the vanity of your own mind, your understanding's darkened, you're alienated from the life of God, and you got a hardened heart. Your branch is withering. You see? You see that? That's powerful. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to what? Lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you've not learned so, not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed. That's what I was reading over in Romans 12. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is what? Which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the unto the hearers. and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Here we are. We're talking about a side effect here of our lifestyle. You could grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Let me read these two, same area, but two different translations. This is the 20th century New Testament. This then, I like this, as one in union with the Lord. It says here again, this then, as one in union with the Lord, I say to you and urge upon you, do not continue to live such purposeless lives as the Gentiles live, with their powers of discernment darkened, cut off from the life of God, owing to the ignorance that prevails among them and to the hardness of their hearts. You see, when that union is affected, you have a purposeless life. Your communion with God has been affected. It says here, your powers of discernment have been darkened, cut off from the life of God. In other words, there's no real sense of right and wrong. It just feels right. Really? You would know whether it's right or not when you have a living communion with God. You'd know that, and that's not right. I know one thing. I didn't know chapter and verse when I was a young child, but I knew it wasn't right. Amen. Amen. And so will you. Amen. When your heart's tender to God, you may not have chapter and verse, but you know that's not right. Because the communion of the Holy Ghost, He will bear witness down here and tell you that's not right. Don't do that. That's what I'm talking about. Being led by Him, being led by this inward witness, because this communion, this fellowship is active. It's alive. Right? Yes. The Spirit and the Word, they agree, but when you don't know a chapter and verse, and that communion is alive, you've been quiet, worshiping, praying in the Holy Ghost, this communion is alive. This fellowship is active. And you won't do it. See, when you have communion and fellowship with one another in the natural, you get to know one another so well that you may not know exactly what they're going to say in this point or do, but you go, they wouldn't do that. I'm not going to do that because I just know how they think. They wouldn't do that. They wouldn't like that. That would offend them. So I'm not going to do that. You didn't have to pick up the phone and say, honey, can I do this or not? You just know that I ain't doing that. That ain't right. Because why? You've got a living fellowship, a living communion with one another. And you're being led by Him. That's the truth. See, for me, I don't know about you. Sometimes I wonder. No, I'm only kidding. Just kidding. But how many can say that when that communion wasn't just where it should be, we've made some bad choices? Hello. We've done things that we shouldn't have done, got involved in things that we shouldn't have gotten involved in. We made some bad choices because why? Our understanding was darkened. We were alienated from the life of God. Hallelujah. And we reap that. But when that fellowship is active, we know what to do, where to go, because we have His mind. See, and it's out of this fellowship, this is what God is stirring in me. It's out of this that God is going to pour out of us onto the community, reaching out into the community, touching lives where we go. It's out of this fellowship that He will work through us. Right? That's what He's doing. That's what He did with Jesus. Amen. Be ye what? Imitators, therefore, of Him. Hallelujah. I didn't read this, did I? I guess I started to. And this is the 20th century New Testament. It said, this then, as one in union with the Lord, I say to you and urge upon you, do not continue to live such purposeless lives as the Gentiles live. Yeah, I did read this. With their powers of discernment darkened, cut off from the life of God, owing to the ignorance that prevails among them, and to the hardness of their hearts. See, I think sometimes we think extremes, hardness. Hardness can just be a minor lack of fellowship with God. You have there are degrees with things, aren't they? You can have a hardness of heart, and we think, well, my heart's not hard. Oh, okay. Did you have corrupt communication? Did you do some things? I think that's not pinpointing, but when you go back and you look at that, how's my communion with the Lord? You see. This is the Knox translation. Same scriptures. Their minds are clouded with darkness. The hardness of their hearts breeds in them an ignorance which estranges them from the divine life. Whew. Jesus. We'll read that again. This is the Knox translation. Their minds are clouded with darkness. The hardness of their hearts breeds in them an ignorance which estranges them from the divine life. You see. So we need to make sure, do an assessment. How is our communion with God? Am I connected solidly to the vine? Because if we have problems being led by the Spirit of God, then maybe we need to check and see how is my communion with Him. Because the more time, that'd be like a husband saying, I don't know my wife. What? Or the wife saying, I really don't know my husband. What? I guess you don't spend time with one another. How is that possible? You live in the same house and you don't know one another? That means you're not spending time to get to know one another. And so when people say, I don't know God, I don't hear Him, I don't know His voice, then my question is, maybe you need to spend more time in His presence. Maybe you need to spend more time with Him. You get to know Him. See, isn't that true? I mean, it seems kind of basic, but it's so. Hallelujah. I think I'm finished. I think that's enough. Because my heart, that's in my heart. And it's flowing out of my heart, and I know that's God. And I believe you're hearing what I'm saying. I believe you're hearing what the Holy Ghost is saying. That He wants us to self-examine, how is our communion with Him? How is it? See, because churches, this is one thing, there was a prophecy given by Brother Copeland back in 87. He said this, I'll give you the highlights of it that I can remember. He talked about this being a mighty church. He talked about that church in Seoul, Korea. He's talking about Dr. Youngji Cho's church. He said, that church is not a big church for me. He said, I'll do that here if you'll let me. And he also said, don't seek the biggest church, just seek me. Because when you just seek Him, people's lives will be touched out of that communion. And that's what God is attempting to do. He wants to touch this whole area. But our communion has got to be alive, fervent, active, not asleep. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Bless the name of Jesus. He's good. And His mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. He's a good God. He's a merciful God. He's a loving God. Hallelujah. And He loves us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless the name of Jesus. Father, we thank You for Your word today. Thank You for Your direction. Thank You for Your heart. Being shared with us. We receive Your word. We receive what You're saying, that You desire us to have fellowship. That's what You're saying to us, Lord. You want us to have fellowship, more communion with You, so that You can work through us. Hallelujah. We receive that, Lord. Father, we'll not only be hearers of the word, but doers thereof. In Jesus' name.